Thanks to Key for joining us, Sedano and LZ. Now on the Celebrity Hotline for the next hour, Mama Momo is here. Celebrity Hotline brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe, good times. So, Momo, my guess is your phone was blowing up yesterday as the Clippers blew their 3-1 lead and their double-digit games or leads in those games. What are people around the league saying to you?
Oh, it was a lot like what CJ McCollum and Dame Lillard were tweeting. I mean, you know, look, they put up billboards. They had the Kawhi. Kawhi's got all these commercials. They, you know, when you're real loud about we're coming, you know, like we're here. We're the championship contender. Like when you're real loud about the buildup and then you fall flat on your face, like there's a lot of people who delight in your demise. But I think it was a mix, George, of like people going, oh my God, I can't believe they're blowing this. And like, it was like hard to watch. You felt really bad for all the people who work there because like they didn't do anything wrong. Like, you know, there's really nice people who work over there at the Clippers. Like, they, you know, everyone at the front office has spent years trying to build a team and position them for exactly this moment. And you just like, you just feel so bad. And, you know, here I am, like, I did, you know, I'm like Miss Donald Sterling, you know, biographer or whatever, right? Like I did a whole 30 for 30 on this. And I just keep coming back to this. Like, as long as Donald Sterling lives, maybe that damn Clipper curse is out there.
Right.
Like, I just could not believe that they were blowing this. Man, this must be what it's like to be a Cubs fan all those years or to be a Red Sox fan all those years where they just kept finding new and more cruel ways of losing. But, like, this is a bad one. This is so bad. It's so much worse than a few years ago because there was so much more expected of this team.
And, you know, I really feel as if the shift in what we expected really began, you know, to your point, with the shift in ownership.
Yeah.
You had a clown racist who didn't want to spend money to win. Be replaced by a brilliant, energetic, engaged, rich-ass owner, and you thought, okay, things are changing.
Yeah.
You know, you still got the coach. You got Jerry West making decisions. Like, you got everything you need for success. Everything.
Everything.
And when you saw those leads evaporate second half after second half, and I'm not taking anything away from the Denver Nuggets. George knows how I feel about Jamal Murray. I got him in my top 30.
Top 30, Jamal Murray.
Got him in my top 30.
And that was, it's not like that high.
But listen.
Like, I thought you were going to be like, I got him in my top 10.
I know, but when LZ asks me, I'm even still, after all these 50-point games, I'm like,
And I said top 30 before he started going off against the Clippers.
He did. He did say that, to his credit, yes.
So, they got ballers on the Denver side. But when you're up 15, 16 points in the second half, with a Finals MVP in your hip pocket, and a roster that is so deep that they had to go like 8 people before you found someone who couldn't get you 20 points in a game.
So there was this. I think the Clippers had gone from being these lovable losers that people were rooting for, like people. In the last couple seasons, like, the Clippers were enjoyable. They were one of the most fun teams to watch. They were like these gritty Montrezl Harrell and Pat Beverly, and they had all that grit and grind. And they were fun. I really enjoyed watching Clipper games. That was good basketball. And like this year, it just never felt right. There was this like specter of Kawhi, and there was this little bit of Paul. But they were never really on the court together all that much. And even when they were kind of still feeling each other out. And the more I watched that debacle, like just the way it just, I mean, that's really the word. It was a debacle. That is embarrassing. Like I can't believe that those players, you know, went out like that. Like they didn't just like lose.
They got blown out.
They got blown out in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's just like terrible, you know.
And they didn't run any plays for Zubac, by the way. None.
I mean, that's not what I was looking for, LZ. Like, personally, I was like, where's Kawhi? where's Paul? Like, I mean, and Paul's, bless his heart, hitting the side of the backboard. I mean, I just don't know how you live. How do you live that down?
My reaction to that was oh my. Like, he is as shook as shook could be. We just talked about it with Key. Go ahead, Momo. I'm sorry.
Well, here's the thing, though. They got a lot to answer for now.
Let's tease that because we're up against the break. Because Keyshawn wrecked the clock before you came on.
I get it.
That's what he.
And I do talk a lot too.
He has to adhere to a very strict clock on the network now. So he was like, "Oh, I'm back in LA. I can just talk forever.
You can just go."
I mean, he did apologize to me, so I let him keep going. It was nice.
That's okay.
I think it's the first apology I've ever gotten from him in 4 years. So it was. I was trying to live that.
All right.
Up.
Well, I'm about to go in on Kawhi.
So we'll let you go in on Kawhi. We'll talk to you about the changes that people expect there, if any. And then we want to get some calls with you and me and LZ. There are people that have been on hold for 20 plus minutes.
Are they all loud? Are they Laker fans? Like,
I don't know. It's a mix.
On their gray? Is that what it is?
It's a mix.
Breaking news. Kelly Sedano is not following me on Instagram.
Oh.
Okay. Okay.
That was it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen.
Greg's like, let him break. It's like, I'm done, Greg. Okay.
All right.
Stop.
So we'll be back in 3.5 minutes. But first, I got to tell you, and Momo's going to go in on Kawhi, and we're going to find out what changes will be made, and we will try to sneak in calls.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sedano and LZ with you here. Mama Momo hanging out till 6:15. It is Mama Momo Day, a.k.a. Booty Day. All right, so in basketball, we have, there's a clear out, right? So I'm going to be, Coach Vogel or Coach Stevens or Coach Spolstra or Coach Malone right now. And I'm calling the play, LZ, all right?
Okay.
Clear out for Momo. Ice Momo. Go.
All right. We need to talk about Kawhi Leonard, you guys. I'm watching this game, fourth quarter, waiting for him to go off. Like, okay, this is the part where all the stuff the Clippers have put up with all year long, the tiptoeing around him, the not getting straight answers out of him, the, waiting on the plane for him to get there because the helicopter's late, whatever. Like, all of that, all the hassles, all the tiptoeing around, it's all supposed to be worth it because in the fourth quarter of games like this, Kawhi Leonard is supposed to show up. Like, Kawhi Leonard is supposed to be that guy. And he did it a couple of games ago, right? With a finger block on Jamal Murray. Yep. And in this game, nothing. 1 for 11 towards the end. And you look at it, and I just keep imagining a world in which LeBron James did what Kawhi Leonard did in these last few games. Like, can you imagine if LeBron's team blew a 3-1 lead in that fashion?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, Max Kellerman, I love him. A friend of mine, coworker, but when he made that argument that Kawhi was better than Kobe, and I was almost there, almost, because
really?
I see so many of those moves. So much of Kawhi's mid-range game is Kobe-esque. So much of the way he competes is Kobe-esque. But the difference between Kawhi Leonard and the true greats of this game and the true Mount Rushmore-type players of this game is that they embrace all of that. It's not just about being a great player. It's about being the face of the league, the face of an organization, and taking on all of that extra pressure. Paul George have to be the spokesperson for the Clippers, or Montrezl Harrell, or Patrick Beverley, and Kawhi is nowhere to be found? Like, does not answer for, does not step into that spotlight, does not take any of that on his shoulders, and being the leader of a team is not just about being a great basketball player silently. Being a leader of a team is about elevating everybody else and bringing them along with you.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do it.
LZ, you and I, we touched on that earlier. It really is the difference, the biggest difference to Momo's point in the two teams, is that you may not like LeBron's leadership style, right?
Yeah.
But he's got one, LZ, yes?
Yes, absolutely. And he came in with one. That's the thing, like, sometimes we conflate being a great athlete with being a great basketball player. And sometimes we conflate being a great basketball player with being a great leader. There are very few examples of a great athlete being a great basketball player and a great leader. Mm. We need to appreciate those differences and not assume if you have one or even two, that means you're good for all three. Kawhi Leonard is a freakish athlete. His hands are huge. His arms are long. His middle finger is strong enough to block dunks. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a freak. And he's a hell of a basketball player. But he's not the kind of leader that a team, especially a team that's just been put together like the Clippers, he's not that kind of a leader. He likes to lead by example. I'm setting the tone. You should be following me. And, you know, a lot of people in middle management stay in middle management because they don't recognize when certain employees need to be prodded a little bit more than others.
Right.
That they get the handbook and they follow the handbook and then they expect the results to be the results, because if everyone does what they're supposed to do, then you will win or you will be victorious if you're a leader in a corporate sense. But everyone doesn't follow with the same enthusiasm, the same commitment to craftsmanship. LeBron is really good at prodding, at encouraging, at reprimanding, and obviously at getting rid of your ass if you can't get with the program. Like, that's and you're not necessarily always going to be viewed as a good person when you assume that role as a leader. But we all know that great phrase, if you want to avoid criticism, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing.
Yeah. Mm. Let me sneak in some calls here because we've had people waiting for so long. Let me try to grab at least one or two here, and then we can try in the next segment to take more. Caitlin in Palm Springs. What's up, Caitlin?
Hey, how's it going, George, LZ? How are you guys doing?
Great.
Fantastic. Don't forget Momo.
Oh, hey, Momo.
Hey.
So I had to call in, and this has been a long time waiting, because on July 6th, 2019, I was out in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League. And I was at Carbone, which is this pretty nice Italian restaurant. And next to me at the table next to me was PJ Tucker, Patrick Beverley, and Jordan Clarkson. And while I'm sitting at the table, a little bit more intoxicated than I should have been, admittedly, the news about Kawhi and Paul George drops. And seeing Patrick Beverley jump on top of a table at a five-star Italian restaurant, screaming at the top of his lungs, "I just won the effing championship," over and over and over again.
No.
It was enough to make me sick.
Yeah, that was the hot story going around Summer League. Yep.
I saw it with my own eyes, and it made me so sick. So cut to last night, after everything we've been through, the dejection on their face is something that I will savor for the rest of my life. It was so great.
Wow.
It was just, I can still taste it. It was so great. It was the best day I've had in months. Great, great night for Lakers fans all around, but especially me. I can't explain it enough how wonderful it was.
Well, Caitlin, thank you for calling, and we appreciate it. Stay safe, stay healthy. Take care. All right, we will take more calls. There are, I'm sure, plenty of Caitlins out there that want to chime in on what's transpired here. Also, coming up next, what kind of changes do we expect with the Clippers? What lessons can be learned here from this Clippers team that the Lakers and every organization in sports, in the NBA and outside the NBA, should take a hard look at? We'll get to all that coming up, plus the montage of our friends here at ESPN, our colleagues and friends who maybe may have stepped in it a little too early with their Clipper love. All that coming up, plus your calls.
You're cold, George. You're cold.
We'll be back
in Momo.
2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and LZ, Mama Momo hanging out till 6:15. We'll take your calls at 877-710-ESPN. We also have the montage of our friends here at ESPN who maybe got a little, got a little crazy with the Clippers during the season. We'll have some of that for you here, courtesy of our friend on Twitter, at PickupHoop. Got to shout him out because he puts these montages together. But Momo, real quick, what kind of changes should we expect from the Clippers?
Well, look, I mean, they had everything, yeah. Right? They literally had everything they needed to win. Like, do they need more shooting? I don't know. They got a lot of shooting. Do they need more big guys? They got pretty good big guys. They just didn't play them all the time. I think the biggest change we're probably going to see, I don't know that they can retain Montrezl Harrell. I think that's actually a really big loss for them. If you have watched them the last couple of years, let's like take out his playoff performance notwithstanding, right? He wasn't as good. But he's a free agent, and I think somebody's going to pay him. He's an energy guy, so look for teams like Dallas, some of the teams that need that energy guy that can protect Luka Doncic, that tough guy. I think that might be somebody you lose anyway. Well, what happens to Lou Williams then? If you don't have Montrez and Lou in that pick and roll, then what do you do with Lou? Does Lou still fit there? I think they like his energy that he gives them, but would they be better off with just a pure shooter around Kawhi and Paul? And they also have to have a very big conversation and discussion about the future of Paul George. Now, I think Paul George is going to retire a Clipper. I think he is going to do an extension. I think he's going to do whatever it takes to just stay there. I think the time in his career for chasing other greener pastures is over. He wants to be home. It's a great place for him to settle in. But he's got to be healthy, and he's got to play better than he did in these playoffs.
I thought he always wanted to be a Knick. After he always wanted to be a Laker. After he always wanted
to be a Laker. Yeah. I mean, he can't get mercenary again. I mean, the question is, though, do the Clippers just cut their losses? I mean, they gave up a lot for him. And if it's not the right pairing, if there's another pairing out there, if there's something that Kawhi wants more of or whatever, he does have trade value. I mean, it's crazy to me that Paul George was a top five MVP candidate. What did he finish last year? Third?
Yeah, he was third.
Third. And he didn't even make, I don't think he made an all NBA team this year. Now, some of that's injuries. But how do you go from top five MVP candidate to, like, not even on the team?
Isaiah Thomas did it, but his was injury-related. But yeah. Listen, the thing is with this squad is that the roster's fine.
Yeah.
It's really about the personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, from a basketball perspective, to your point, Momo, they got everything they need. I felt the same way about the Milwaukee Bucks. It's like people are going, oh, what can you do to make the roster better? No, Giannis needs to be able to shoot an open jump shot.
Yeah.
You guys are like trying to find all this other stuff, that's wrong with the Bucks. Let me tell you what's wrong with the Bucks. Their MVP is self-checked from 17 out.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what's wrong. And when I look at the Clippers, they got everything they need. They need either Paul George or Kawhi Leonard from a personality perspective. Even if you got to fake it to be able to motivate or yell at or criticize guys vocally. Sometimes simply leading by example is not enough. Sometimes you got to lead with your mouth too.
And let's talk about load management. All right.
Let's do it.
They keep talking about, we didn't have enough time together. We never really found ourselves. Yeah, because you load managed all year.
Right.
Yeah, because everybody was sitting out all the time. Like, you can't just completely blow off the regular season. You know, they did this all year long with this idea that they would ramp up towards the end. And I feel for them that the COVID epidemic hit them right as they were ramping up. I do think they were playing really well right towards the end there, although they did lose to the Lakers on that night, the last game.
Yep.
But you can't just play like we're saving it for the playoffs. It has to be something you do night in and night out. And I think that is, when Doc Rivers won a championship in 2008 with the Celtics, what was the whole thing? Ubuntu. It was like the connection, the spirit that those Celtics teams had. Like, they're still on a group text. Those 2008 Celtics, I mean, I think they kicked Ray Allen off, right? Yeah, they removed him from the conversation. But they're still on a group text. Like, Doc Rivers' kids are still friendly with Rajon Rondo. Like, that is a family. And that I did not get any of that from the Clippers this year. And I think a lot of it comes back to that, what I was saying about Kawhi earlier, is that everybody just was walking on eggshells around him all year. That's everyone in the whole organization, from the media to in the way that they treated him, in the way that the organization treated him, his teammates. It's like almost nobody wants to say anything to upset Kawhi. Don't say anything. Don't challenge Kawhi. And the idea is he would be worth it at the end. Didn't happen that way.
Well, let's go to the phones. Ian in Redondo Beach. Ian, what do you got?
Hey, George, LZ, and Momo. Glad to hear you guys. I listen to you all the time. I respect all the work you guys do. Before I get to my X and O points on why the Clippers lost, my son Duncan, 16, hopefully a future NBA analyst, tried to convince me, hey, Dad, there's never been a star player go from one team to another team and win a championship. So he was pretty comfortable the whole way. So I think the reason why the Clippers lost is after game four, they started to double Jokic and leave these Millsap and Harris and those guys wide open threes, and you can't do that. You got to play them straight up. That's just my point.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. I think schematically there were some things they certainly could have done differently. Mm-hmm. How about someone guard Jamal Murray, like one of the good guys? Paul or Kawhi or even Pat Bev.
He was eating a little bit, though. Once he started cooking, though, he was eating with Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah, but those guys in the moments when things were starting to matter, like that's when those guys – that's when LeBron or whoever, right, historically has said, I'm going to get that guy. And we saw it with Kawhi not guarding Luka. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the game. And it was like, okay, well, maybe they're saving this for something. But, hey, man, there's nowhere to save it for anymore. You know what I mean? Let me grab one more. Will, in the Inland Empire, real quick, before we get – I want to get this montage in. Go ahead, Will. Will! All right, bye, Will. All right. Sorry. No worries. All right, let's get the montage. So this is a montage of our friends – I literally mean our friends here at ESPN – who went all in on the Clippers, and let's just say they don't look so good anymore. Courtesy of our friend on Twitter, at Pickup Hoop.
Which team in L.A. Would you think, Draymond, based on your experience...
Oh, not just ESPN?
Is the better bunch.
I have a hard time picking against the Clippers.
Who do you think is going to win the West this year?
The Clippers.
Clippers over the Lakers.
Yeah.
Clippers or Lakers?
Clippers.
Why?
I think their pieces fit together a little bit better.
Clippers, on the other hand, have a team that completely bought in last year with no superstars. You add two of the most selfless superstars in the game that go both ways. Obviously, Paul George's shoulder is going to be a big concern, but I think it's the Clippers' championship to lose this year.
The Clippers not only have the best defensive versatility in the league, yes, the Lakers have a height advantage, but the three-point shooting of the Clippers with Lou Will and Trez on the floor, the Clippers are the best team in basketball.
The Clippers, because of their depth, because of their versatility, especially between guys that are 6'2 to 6'9, they got the most of them in the NBA that can really play. So I'm going with the Clippers.
The Clippers are loaded, and this is going to be like an advanced, organized version of rec ball. They're disruptive defensively. They're the best team in the league at defending isolation plays. That's why the Clippers are my choice to make it to the NBA Finals out of the West.
I believe in my friend Doc Rivers. I believe he will figure out who that person is, even if they have to make a move. And so I'm gonna say the Clippers. That team defensively is gonna be great.
Great, I mean.
Very great.
All time.
Historic,
yeah.
Right? So I'm going with the Clippers. And what you said about the Clippers, who's gonna organize them on the road, I have reservations about LeBron being a closer in his 17th year at 35. That's why I can't go with the Lakers.
When you look at the Clippers top to bottom, coaching, starter, perimeter, superstars, their depth, I mean, this is where the Lakers fall off. If you remember on Christmas, they had a lead of 12, 13 points, and we thought the Lakers would run away. But then here come the Clippers, the bench. They just wear you down over the course of 48 minutes. And I just see in no scenario the Lakers beating them in the series.
Paul wasn't lying. Right now, there is no scenario where the Clippers are going to beat them in the series.
That's true.
All right. We've got one more segment with Momo. We'll take some more calls. 877-710-ESPN. What lessons were learned hear from the Clippers' experience for other organizations, not just in the NBA and beyond. And we will dissect this Clipper collapse here with Momo for one more segment. Stick around. We are back in 3 minutes.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, what you need to know is brought to you by Morongo.
Hey.
Don't forget, our friends at Morongo say play it safe and good times. The Dodgers won today. No Kenley available today, though he did have a little bit of a rocky run yesterday. Kenley Jansen was almost pulled the Clippers yesterday, LZ. He almost blew a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling myself that there's nothing to worry about. Because if I let myself think about it too much, I start freaking out. So I tell myself, it's all good. It's all fine.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to downplay it because I don't want anyone to panic.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, look, the Dodgers, the first team to clinch a postseason bid this season. Mookie Betts stole 3 bases today. I've been waiting for him to get running and going. I mean, I think Justin Turner just came back. Like, the Dodgers are rolling. Kenley's having a little hiccup, but better now than in the playoffs.
I don't know about that. Momo, you're not convincing me, girl. Bases were loaded last night, girl.
No, bases were loaded.
It was scary. It worked.
Look, they beat the Dads. They beat the Padres. They're going to win the West again.
Yeah, they did clinch a playoff spot, the first team. Eight straight playoff berth for them.
I'm trying to spin it. I'm trying to make you feel better.
Oh, yeah. So it's my alternative facts. I see you now. I understand now. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm just sunny. That's it.
We've got some news from the Pac-12. The Pac-12, Larry Scott, the commissioner, says that with statements by Governor Newsom here in California and Governor Brown in Oregon, that state and public health officials will allow for contact practice to return to competition. So the schools in California and Oregon will now have to immediately reach out to their relevant county health officials to seek the clarification on what is actually required to get the clearance that they need. But one big step, LZ, in returning to sports for the Pac-12.
I want to say that's great news. I do. But it's only great news if these decisions with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are being driven by science and not political pressure.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, I hope not money. You know, because as a parent myself of someone who just graduated from college, the idea of putting my young man's life at risk so some people I don't know can make money is upsetting. And so I'm hoping, Georgia Momo, that all these decisions are driven by science and what the doctors have said and not by what politicians are lobbying for because they're trying to get reelected.
Yeah, I did not like how that came out today. I mean, just the way the chronology of it was Gavin Newsom kind of putting this out there saying, hey, I don't know what Larry Scott's talking about. Nothing we put in our report said that they can't have football. I don't know why they're blaming me. And I was like, oh, did we not already go through this when you opened up too fast the first time?
Right.
Now you're just backtracking because there's political pressure to do that. I mean, I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is that this is SC's way of trying to find a way to fire Clay Helton this year. And they need a couple games to justify that.
Yeah. Plus, how do we get to a place where there's daily testing for football athletes, but none of the other students on campus? Like,
Very strange. Yes, yeah. All of that is strange. I mean, are they actually going to campus? Right? Like, what is happening here? Like, I just think that there is a lot of things happening here that need to be, as LZ put it, and you put it, Momo. I think we need to kind of chill for a second, right? Like, I understand the need for wanting to get life back to normal, but I think that it needs to be done within reason, right? And whether we got to point fingers at someone, if you're Gavin Newsom or Larry Scott, how about y'all just get in a room and iron all this thing out, right? One way or another. Yeah. And I think that That makes the most sense. Not just playing phone tag, basically, in release statements.
Yeah, no one wants to have their name attached to something definitive like that because the ground is still moving. Mm-hmm. The problem is that you're now putting students, young people at risk while still ducking the overall responsibility of owning the decision.
Yeah, there you go. All right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by friends at Morongo. Play it safe, good times. So, Momo, one more segment with you on the Clipper collapse, and I do want to get some Lakers and the East series here as well. But one thing we haven't talked about is Doc Rivers' future. Now, people thought maybe that it could be in jeopardy. There have been some reports that say he's not. What are you hearing? Because we trust you.
Well, I mean, people started asking me that question after they lost game 6. Like, if the Clippers lose this, is Doc in trouble? And I was like, what? No, why would Doc be in trouble? Doc's one of the best coaches in the NBA, and he probably played a pretty – I would say he played a seminal role in keeping the NBA season going when everything shut down on August 26th after the Bucks protest, right? Chris Paul asked Doc Rivers to speak to the group of players there. He was, as I – you know, from what I've heard from people in the room, amazing in what he said. Like, he's like a civil rights leader, okay? He's coached them very well all year. He's put up with so much stuff. I don't see how this is his fault. I don't see how this is that Doc. Plus, who are you going to go hire that's better than him? Who's out there? You want Mike D'Antoni? Who you want? You want Jeff Van Gundy?
I don't think it's a better as much as it is a different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, there are certain coaches who are better suited for certain rosters versus others. Now, I personally think that there are certainly some things that Doc Rivers needs to address about his shortcomings in terms of adjustments, specifically dealing with the high screen and roll with Murray and Jokic. Like, he never could figure out how to slow that down. And maybe he just didn't have the talent to slow it down. And it is what it is, right? Like, at certain points, sometimes you just get beaten by the better team. But I do think that not assigning, like, Paul George or Kawhi to, like, shadow Jamal Murray for the entire series after the guy went off for like 50 multiple times in the series before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like he got hot for you. He's just been hot. So doesn't seem like there was much adjustment with that. And then when it comes to the leadership aspect of it, I would say as a coach, it is your job to empower players to be leaders on the floor. And to your point, Ramona, maybe tiptoeing around Kawhi wasn't the best strategy when you needed someone to step out and be a vocal leader. Because if you don't push that person throughout the course of the regular season to assume the role, asking them to be something that they're not in the midst of a postseason is an ideal situation for victory.
Well, you know what's interesting? You've been around the Clippers, like, media-wise for a while, right?
Yep.
And I almost felt bad for Paul George because, like, everybody just went to Paul. Like, Paul had to carry that load media-wise. And it was the same thing in Toronto, okay? You know, everybody had to carry that load for Kawhi in Toronto. But they had a guy like Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, a leader.
Yeah,
a leader. Like, absolute, in your face, tough as nails. You will have to, you know, bury me before and kick a can over me before I die, right? I mean, he is just an absolute tough as nails guy, okay? That's not Paul George's personality. I'm not saying he's not tough. He's just not that kind of a guy. So maybe it's just the personality of who's next to Kawhi. Like, Kawhi is never going to be the rah-rah guy. He's never going to be the in-your-face guy. He's probably always going to lead by example. But there's got to be somebody who can do that and who can maybe bring some more out of that. And Kawhi, and I don't think Paul is that either. I think Paul's kind of chill.
Agreed. Oh, yeah,
I know the player. What about LeBron? Oh, he didn't want that option. My fault. My bad.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the Clippers Nuggets game got 5.226 million people watching. Mm. It was the second highest rated thing on television all day, all night last night. Only second to America's Got Talent's semifinal on NBC. It blew everything else out of the water. So there were a lot of people watching the Clipper collapse yesterday. It was incredible to watch. And even casual sports fans were like, wait, what's happening? And they tuned in to watch it all.
I mean, it was like you could not.
take your eyes off.
It was just devastating. And I think it's also like I think people were kind of in the media liked the Clipper story. They like that they did it all through shrewd salary cap management and big bold trades where they acquired a bunch of assets that they could keep making. You know, they could make that trade for Paul and they could make the trade for Marcus Morris and they could keep giving up those firsts. And I think there's a professional respect for the way they built that team that maybe colored a lot of our opinions on just how good they were. Because they never really showed it. I mean, the best game they played all year was probably the first one when they just destroyed Golden State.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. Let me ask you this, Momo. LZ, I told LZ earlier, and we agreed on this. This is the clearest path for LeBron for the fourth title that he could possibly have. An inexperienced Denver team and two inexperienced teams on the East side. And look, we never know what's going to happen next year, right? Like, LeBron's going to be 36 in 3 months. You know, KD's coming back. The Warriors will be back. We don't know, you know, the Clippers will, in theory, be back, right? Like, the West is hard. So this is his best chance. Like, this is the Lakers and LeBron's best chance at winning a championship. Like, he has to grab this thing.
I'm getting so many goosebumps just thinking about how this is lined up for the Lakers. Just, okay, they beat Houston in the second round. They're facing Denver in the conference finals. If they play in the NBA finals, it would be in Orlando. This is exactly the same path Kobe took to his fourth title in 2009.
Yeah,
it's like...
Right.
I mean, it's just lining up that way. Like, 2009 was supposed to be Lakers-Cavs. It was supposed to be LeBron and Kobe in the finals. But the Cavs didn't take care of business that year, right?
Freaking
that
was... Turkaloo. Sweet Jesus, LeBron. I'll never forgive you for that one. Turkaloo? Come on, man.
That was kind of a good team, though. That's kind of sort of a modern front run, modern offense. Van Gundy offense, yeah.
Stan was very good at, whether it was Gortat or Dwight Howard, and then surrounding them with shooters. And then you had leaders.
Yeah. J.J. Redick, right? Those guys. They had Jameer Nelson was on that team, I think.
It was Gortat, Dwight, Turkaloo, Rashard Lewis. Mm-hmm. And Stan was the coach, obviously.
Yeah.
You know?
But there was, it was definitely, I covered those finals, and I remember it being a bit of a letdown because it was either going to be Lakers-Celtics again or it was going to be Lakers-Cavs, and it ended up being Lakers-Magic.
Speaking of the East, what do you think of Heat and Celtics right now?
George, I picked the Heat in six, and I felt stupid doing it. I was like, nah, man, Boston should win this. But I don't – just for whatever reason, I just feel like picking the Heat. I don't know. They just have some kind of grit about them.
Well, it's funny because on ESPN.com, your name comes right before mine, and I look to see, and I'm like, damn, Momo's even more more on the Heat than I am. That's crazy.
I know. I don't know. Why do we believe in them?
I picked them in seven. I think they're better than Boston. I just think they have more depth. I think they don't have anyone that can deal with Bam on offense or defense. Mm-hmm. And I just think Miami's three-point shooting is that good.
Yeah, I think they're just a little more experienced, a little tougher.
Yeah.
Like, Boston's on its way there, but, like, their best veteran would be Kemba. And their best player is a young kid, right?
Right.
Or the young guys.
Jason Tatum, the youngest 22-year-old in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. Like, they're great. But I don't know. I just have a little more faith in Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo and the scrappy guys who, like, were undrafted or middle of the first round, second round picks, like, who just kind of built themselves there. I don't know. There's just something about the Heat that is working right now.
They've got 2004 Pistons vibes to me right now.
Okay.
Jimmy is Chauncey. And Bam is like actually like some kind of like weird clone of Rashid and Ben. It feels like.
That's I don't know lofty. If I put that on him. Yeah,
that's a lot. That's a lot.
It was a good block though.
It was a very good block. I still think that this series is going the distance. I don't think that the Miami Heat are clearly the better team in terms of roster construction.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that they play together better.
Yes.
Like
they move the ball unbelievably well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes, they do, which makes up for, you know, a multitude of sins. And they got Duncan Hines knocking down threes.
You know, say that man's name right. Ramona wrote a big story about him.
Duncan Robinson, how is Duncan Robinson not on the Spurs? Come on.
Yeah, he is a Spursian type player. There is no question.
I mean, the kid like literally wasn't even that good in high school and goes to a Division III Williams College.
Yeah.
And that was one of my favorite stories because we sat down and just started talking about imposter syndrome the whole time and how he can't believe this is his life. And Eric Spoelstra actually cares about him. And Eric Spoelstra is like Spo, like if you watch those games when Duncan's out there, all Spo does is yell at him to shoot. Yeah. Every time he catches it, where he catches it, shoot Duncan. And I love this term. He says, if you don't shoot, then we have no use for you because when you're out there as a sniper, you create gravity on the court. And I was like, ooh, I like that gravity. Term, gravity. Damn. Like you suck the defense towards you.
That is
like
a Spoism right there, gravity.
Such a Spo quote. Yeah.
That's what you say to KD and Steph.
Yeah. I will say this. Actually, it's funny because LeBron actually has a lot of Spo in him in what he says to the media. Mm. He says things like the main thing is the main thing. Yeah. LeBron says that a lot. Yeah. That is from the book of Spo and Riley. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. He likes to say things like don't let go of the rope. Right. Those are things I hear LeBron say those things. And I'm like, oh, man.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah. Those are all things he says that he got from Eric.
Do you like wild. Usually the people that you respect the most in your career are like older than you, mentors, people that, you know, like for me, like Bill Plaschke was a mentor, is still Jackie McMullen. Like, I mean, every time I talk to Jackie, I can't believe we're friends. I'm like, oh, God.
Jackie's a mentor of yours?
Yes, I know. It's like she's the GOAT. Like Doris.
Hall of Famer, yo. Yeah.
Hall of Famers. I'm like so lucky that I get to call them and tell them things. But
I went to Costco to get my mentors. You got yours from Sachs.
But like when I think Spo kind of became a little bit of a mentor for LeBron, just by being who he is.
He was tough on him and no one else had been at that point. Yeah, I think that was it.
Momo, that took some balls to be tough on him, right? In that situation with having accomplished nothing yet.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he had Riley in his corner, so there is that.
Momo,
thank you for hanging out with us as always.
Thanks, boys.
It was always our pleasure. Thanks again.
Do you feel like you got over hump day? Do you feel like I helped you?
Hump day!
It's like all now on the back.
Booty day.
Yeah, it's booty day. It's listen, you have gotten us over the hump. There's no doubt.
That's what I'm here for.
All right, Momo. See ya. There she is, Mama Momo, joining us on the Celebrity Hotline. Morongo, play it safe, good times. The Max Show is up next. Mark Anthony Kay of the LAFC will stop by. Then LZ and I have a number of things to tackle, including the All-NBA teams. Our picks against the spread, because we don't have a show the rest of the week, so we got to do that and knock that out too. All coming up, but the Max Show joins us in 2.5 minutes.